You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
Well, it's been a rough year, like we talked about, but they did get a win over a ranked team. I'm talking about, of course, our Wisconsin Badgers over the weekend. It was a good win. And Mr. Zommers, who is filling in for the kid Conrad Krieger tonight, pulled that awesome tune out. Who doesn't love Jump Around? And I would say Wisconsin made it famous. You could say, who's the band that made that? Is it the Zombie?
House of Pain.
House of Pain. That's right. That is the voice of Grant Fenster, who is my guest right now and made the documentary called Bucky, which you can see December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin. He is the producer of the film. We will be back to Grant in just a moment, as he was nice enough to stick around through the news. My guest at 6:35, Paul Vandenplas, will be here from Wonderfully Wisconsin, a great platform, and I highly encourage you to follow Paul. He does a lot of fun things around our state, finds great restaurants, scenery, iconic locations, and he is in the process of putting together the top 100 burgers in Wisconsin, and that is a massive undertaking. Maybe sounds like a potential documentary for our pal Grant. If
that's possibly. A series, 100 burgers, that's a lot.
You're right.
To dive into.
That's 10 episodes. You could do 10 burgers per episode.
Franchises.
That is, of course,
exactly.
Assuming that Paul Vandenplas survives.
Yeah.
True. It's a lot of burgers.
Up the crest.
That's right. And Thomas Lennon will be here at 7:35. He is the star of Reno 911 and many other movies and a big time writer. He's created many a franchise, and he will be here at 7:35 to discuss our screening, which I will tell you more about in just a little bit. The Godfather of Green Bay screening next Thursday night at the Atwood Music Hall in Madison. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? Zommers and I both said potatoes. And my current guest, Grant, what did you say again, Grant?
Your sweet potato dish my wife makes. It's very unique.
Very, and a lot healthier than mashed
potatoes. No. Potato. It's covered with marshmallows and strudel on top and the whole deal.
I'm saying under all that pomp and circumstance, though, there's probably a little bit of a few antioxidants in there maybe or something.
Why not?
That is the voice of Grant Fenster. He's the producer, as I mentioned, of the film Bucky, which drops December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin. So you told us a little bit about this great film, Grant. It's about Bucky and how Bucky came to be, became the mascot, who's been in the mascot over the years, a former Madison police chief. I think that is fun. That probably got him the gig, let's be honest, when he showed his resume and they knew he could do push-ups. I have a I want to ask you, like you said earlier, you had all this old footage. Mm-hmm. Was that hard to track down, or is there like the Wisconsin Historical Society? I know they do phenomenal work. Did you have to access it through there or the university? How did that work?
Both. Yes. So we got some stuff from the Historical Society. Our major source was UW Athletics. So in Camp Randall, they have this, you're walking by like concession stands and stuff. And it's this just door that you wouldn't think twice of. And in there, It's two stories, and it's just filled of old film reels, tapes, and DVDs. It's just like all this history just sitting in there, and they gave us access to it. So we spent a day just digging and grabbing and whatever we could. We knew like certain dates and names that we had that we wanted to cover Bucky, you know, that we needed in the Bucky story. So just digging through all that stuff. And I saw things back and up back to like 1918, I think is the oldest film.
Wow.
So the first film sprite shot. So that was incredible. And then UW archives on campus, especially for a lot of the still photos and stuff like that. It was an incredible, incredible resource. And they're open to anybody. It's not just a UW thing. And so that was a ton of fun because you have to, it's not like they had like strictly a Bucky collection. So you've just got to pull on all these different threads and start searching different collections and then finding this stuff. And then through this process, then that helps them kind of curate a Bucky collection for anyone in the future, which is great.
It's so great when you go to Madison and you stay at one of the hotels, a lot of them have these old pictures like in the lobby or on some of the floors, and just seeing the history of UW-Madison. I just have to say, I did not go to school there. And I, looking back, I kind of wish I did. My younger brother, Andrew, went there, and here's a possible documentary for you, Grant. You ready?
Shoot.
Okay. So my brother, when Twitter first became a thing, he grabbed UW Madison or UW Badgers or something like that. So he owned the Twitter handle. So at some point the university came calling and said, hey, we want this and we're going to get it one way or the other. Yep. And he's an attorney. And he said, well, you know, at first he was kind of like bringing on, didn't appreciate the stance they took. But at the end of the day, you know, he's like, I'm a Badger. I love my alma mater. And he just kind of gave it to him. Mm-hmm. So, but what he did ask for, and the university was very thankful. They said, well, what do you want? So all he asked for were a signed basketball by Bo Ryan and a signed football by Barry Alvarez.
Nice.
Yeah. And sweethearts that they are, UW-Madison took us on a tour of Camp Randall, and we got to see where Barry Alvarez sits every game and all this great stuff. Oh, man, it was great. And then some of the players were on the field, and they came over and took pictures with our kids. And it was just like kind of this magical day. And I said he should have hit him up for a couple, you know, I don't know, season tickets or something.
Yeah. Like
that. But he, you know, when you're a Badger, you just want to help out, right?
Exactly.
You want to be part of it. And that whole energy of the day, from the tour guide to the players coming over and taking pictures with the kids, it's just such a great, it's a great university. We're very blessed. Did you go there, or what is your association with the school now, other than making this documentary?
Sure. Yeah. I graduated from UW-Madison. I had a roundabout collegiate tour, if you will. So I started off at Whitewater. I spent most of my time at Florida State University. I went there to study filmmaking. And at the time, this was before the digital revolution, they were the like the only school in the country that subsidized your film. Because otherwise, if you went to like USC or whatever, you had to pay for your film stock and to get it processed. Right. So super expensive. So bounced around from colleges, didn't finish, got back to Madison. My family's originally from the area, so got back for some family stuff, and I was working at a TV station, and I wanted to finish my degree. So then I applied to UW. I told them in my cover letter, I said, you can use me as a scare 'em straight program, why not, to drop out of college? And they let me in, and I got through in about a year and a half, and so pleased that I did it. But, you know, growing up, you know, my brother and his wife are UW grads, my uncle, my cousin. So it's just, it's been infused. And, you know, I grew up in a rural area. So we called it the Farmer Five, where you had, you know, over the air antenna. So it was CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, and PBS. So I'd watch all the hockey games. They'd air those. So then I'd catch them like the next morning, they replay them. And so I've always just been a Badger fan. It's just always been a thing. So having that Badger spirit, if you will, it's
it's great. My son graduated from there in 23. And like I said, my brother, and I've been working with PBS Wisconsin, which is associated with the university. It's just been great for me, even tangentially, to be, you know, connected to the university, because I think it's such a special place. And Madison is a very special town.
Yeah.
Grant, before we let you go, tell us about this great, what looks like a really fun documentary you did about supper clubs in 2015, Wisconsin supper clubs, I assume.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the only kind, right?
Right. Are there supper clubs other places? I've never really seen them, to be
honest. I don't know. I mean, they're probably imitators at that point. I gotta rack my brain here a little bit. It's been a while, but yeah, it's same kind of thing. We're always looking for Wisconsin based things that bring up, you know, that make up the Wisconsin identity, and the supper clubs are huge part of that, right? So like simple food done well, right? It's all about atmosphere and having that, you know, wonderful evening where you might go and have a 3-hour meal, right? And then you eat a prime rib that is big as your plate, right? Drink some brandy old fashions and all that. And it's, we wanted to get into that a little bit and kind of figure out, you know, why these things kind of came together. And there's, you know, you find this history with like prohibition and then obviously a lot of Catholics in the state. So the idea of like the fish fry and where all these things kind of came from and then coalesced into this part of our identity. And, you know, who doesn't love a good supper club?
You know what I love the most about the supper club is you're right. You get gobs of food, but I've more often than not, or several times at least, I've been in a supper club and there's like a frail 80-year-old woman with like a rack of ribs or a giant steak in front of her. And I'm like, is that a month's meal? Is she going to finish that? What
living life, man? Are you holding court?
Grant, this is fun, buddy. Thank you. It's been great getting to know you. Good luck with the documentary. It's called Bucky. It drops December 2nd, PBS Wisconsin. Check it out. Charlie Behrens, Wisconsin's one and only. Charlie Behrens is the narrator. And good luck with it. Keep up the great work. Come back sometime, will you?
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Will do.
You got it. All right. That's Grant Fenster. December 2nd, PBS Wisconsin. You'll be all set. Check it out. Zommers, did you... You didn't go to Madison, did you?
I did not. No, I went to Lawrence University in Appleton.
That's right. We talked about this. I apologize. That's a lot of money, buddy.
Yeah.
And now you're subbing for Conrad. I don't know what to make of that.
You know? I don't either.
Well, you do a lot more than that. I didn't mean I was making a joke like that.
I know.
You kind of do everything at Civic Media. You're like,
no, I didn't take it that way. I just mean I have student loans and probably will for a while.
Yeah, I just paid mine off a week ago Tuesday, and I'm a lot older than you. So I want to talk about this because I found this interesting. Have you heard about this? The We Ain't Buying campaign?
Trying to get people. I have not, but I can guess what it might be.
Yeah, it's from Thanksgiving. I mean, to me, it's you could say it's political if you want, and maybe it is on some level, but it's sort of like just kind of saying to billionaires, hey, enough. Or, you know, people that we think are gouging us because inflation is a thing. Inflation has been a thing for a few years now. It's not really getting any better. So I think, you know, you just stop spending. Like, I think for years I would hear these people saying, well, when you go to a game, don't buy a concession. And that really sticks it to the team owners. And I'm like, well, that's great. But is that really going to work? You go to a game, you want a beer, you want a hot dog, whatever. But this could work. Do your shopping before Thanksgiving and then after Cyber Monday. You know, to me, have you ever done anything like that? I have. I don't know if it makes an impact. I think enough people have to do it. But have you ever been part of something like that?
Not necessarily intentionally. I feel like it's more just been like, well, I happened to already get the stuff I needed to get for people.
I forgot to get groceries over the last 5 days. I guess I helped. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
For me. But
I'm going to do it, though, this year, I think.
I think so, too. I think I still might take advantage of some sales at local places. Like there's some stores in Madison that I know are doing things like for Small Business Saturday, things like that.
Absolutely.
And that's a lot different than buying from Amazon.
And that's what they're saying. Amazon, Target, it's the big retailers that they want people to sort of bypass. So, all right, we're going to jump around for a couple minutes during our break. And when we come back, I'm going to get caught up and read your texts. And then Paul Vandenplas will be here, folks, from wonderfully Wisconsin. Tom Lennon at 7:35. You're here on a great night. Don't go anywhere. Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. It's the latest. It's the greatest. Mashed potatoes. Yeah. My mashed potatoes started a long time ago. With the God named himself.
leading the pack so far in our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? We need to get caught up on text. Listen, Aaron, I am so out of it. I didn't even share the post today, and we've got such great guests. We just had Grant Fenster, who is the producer of Bucky, Paul Vandenplas coming up in just a few minutes from Wonderfully Wisconsin, and Thomas Lennon coming up at 7:35 to talk about our screening, which I'll give you the details on that. December 4th, that's next Thursday night, a week from Thanksgiving. Sponsored by Downdrin's Distilling and the John and Gordy Morning Show here at at Civic Media via WMDX in Madison. We are showing The Godfather of Green Bay. I haven't screened this film in years, but a dollar from every ticket sold. They're only $10 for tickets, folks. At these prices, you can't afford not to come out to the Atwood Music Hall in the Atwood neighborhood of Madison. But a dollar from every ticket sold will go to the Dane County Humane Society. The film stars Tony Goldwyn, Lauren Holly, Thomas Lennon, Lance Barber. I'm in it. Great actors from Milwaukee and Chicago. And here in Northeast Wisconsin, we hit a home run too. Lots of familiar faces. A really fun kind of feel-good comedy. Please come on out. It's for a good cause and for a really good time. There will be a Q&A after the screening with John and Gordy as hosts. And they will be... My Civic Media older brothers will be giving me a hard time and hosting the Q&A. It should be a lot of fun. So we'll do that. And then R.C. Martin, that's Rob Martin. He is also in The Godfather of Green Bay. I've given him many a shout out over the last couple weeks, our Milwaukee brother. Rob says, yo, Schwabas. Yo, Rob. Good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for texting. He'll be on the show again one of these days. He was on a few months ago. Great to catch up with Rob. PJ, the alter ego, says, my older brother attended UW-Madison. I wanted to transfer after attending MATC in Madison, but the UW-Madison admissions wanted me to have three semesters of a foreign language credits. I told them no. PJ played hardball. PJ's doing okay. I mean, look, it's nice to go to Madison. I kind of wish I had gone there too, but we landed on our feet, PJ. Dave on the stream, my pal Dave Kunish says, cranberries, cheesy potatoes. I love that little alteration. Potato sausage and sour salad.
No idea what that is.
You know what? It gave me an idea that you put Sour Patch Kids in with a bunch of greens and a nice tangy, like maybe Western dressing. Think about it, Zomers.
I mean, I'd try it, but I can't guarantee I would finish a serving.
You come over to our house. We'll deliver. It'll be good. PJ, the alter ego, again says, so I enrolled into Herzing University in Madison and got my BS in 2013. Well done, PJ. Awesome stuff. I love when people share stuff like that. And I love when you guys be part of the show and answer the question. And tonight is about side items. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side? Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids in the 608 says, good gravy. I want to be on the gravy train. Good gravy makes everything else even better. Pass me the boat. That's right, folks. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids is a boatsman when it comes to gravy, at least. Paul from Bayview in the 414 says, who owns the Bucky copyright? You know, I wish I had seen that earlier, Paul. I apologize. I don't know. Probably UW, I would guess. That's my very unlegal opinion, but thank you for the text. Bridget from the 818 says, mashed potatoes and gravy. The best, can't wait. And there are multiple exclamation points there. So I know Bridget is taking this side item very seriously.
And, you know, that does bring up, speaking of mashed potatoes, there are a lot of songs about mashed potatoes, or at least multiple.
You played a couple of them. Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if anybody out there is holding on to some lyrics in their head for a great song about stuffing or cranberry sauce, but I don't know. Green bean casserole, I feel like it just doesn't roll off the tongue the same way.
You can't write a song about green bean casserole. You can't really put casserole. Casserole, let's be honest, is probably the least sexy word in the English language.
It's definitely up there. I mean, I'm trying to think of something less sexy than casserole, but I am having difficulties.
Hot dish, as it's also referred to in Wisconsin. I remember when we first moved here when I was a kid, and my parents took a weekend alone. And left us with a babysitter. There's five of us. And we said, what's for dinner? And she said, hot dish. No idea what she was talking about.
I think it's more of a Minnesota thing, but...
Is it?
Still some Wisconsin as well.
Well, I think it's just a casserole, but it's...
Yeah, it is. I just mean calling it a hot dish.
Hot dish, sure. Now I get it. I didn't know then. I was like, I didn't know what she meant. But I think casserole is a pretty, pretty unsexy phrase. As food goes, in 9.5 weeks, Mickey Rourke was not eating casserole out of Kim Basinger's belly button. So there you go. It's a very unsexy food. Tom from Hartman in the 262 says Schomburg on Lake Emily for prime rib and bluegill near Fox Lake. That's in Illinois, right? I mean, Schomburg is, but Fox Lake. Is there a Fox Lake, Wisconsin?
I'm not sure.
Easy. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. He's texting in via WMDX. And the 262, this is Muckshoe from Camp Lonehorn by Boulder Junction. Didn't see anything today, but took a detour to Park Falls to get a $25 Ross's gift card. Thank you, Land Guys, for that. And thank you, Gray, for the tour of the station. I do qualify for the youth raffle. And good luck, everyone. I think that was a shout out to our pal, Joel Karnick, and Greg Gunderson.
I believe
Park
so.
Falls. Yeah. Thank you, 262. Nice to hear from you. Ollie, I'm sorry we keep missing your call. We had to transfer phone lines over. So give us a shout if you're. Oh, is she on the phone now?
We do, yeah.
Oh, Ollie, I was just looking at the text line. Okay, I didn't know you were actually there. How are you?
I'm good today. I love.
We've got less than a minute. I'm sorry. Hey, Ollie, do you want to hang through the news, or can you do this in less than a minute?
Sure, I can hang through the news.
All right, let's do that. We'll hold on to Ollie. She's waited this long, for God's sakes. Thank you for your patience, Ollie. Barb from Waukesha in the 262 says, hi, I love my mom's homemade dinner rolls and cinnamon sugar butter. Oh my God, that sounds good. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Barb. We are coming right back with Wonderfully Wisconsin's Paul Vandenplaas and Ollie's phone call at Speech Schwabe and Nightlight. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. It is great to have you with me on this Monday night, my favorite night of the week, when the long, boring weekend is over and we get to talk about the things in life we love and the things we love together, like movies and TV and music and comedy. And Linda in the 608 answers tonight's question, which is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? She says corn pudding. I don't think I've ever had corn pudding. Have you, Zomers?
I know I have not. I don't really know what it is, to be honest.
Well, it's a pudding. It sounds like it's corn-based. I don't want to take too big of a leap.
Probably. I would imagine that that is accurate.
You probably have it at Boston Market. PJ also says on the stream, favorite Thanksgiving sides would be the pies, either the pumpkin or the apple. He also says, Adam Sandler, the Thanksgiving song. I guess that's a side dish, a side dish of song. Thank you, PJ. Green Bay Llama says, Weird Al could make a banger about casserole.
I do agree.
That is great, Green Bay Llama. Thank you. I totally agree as well. Let's bring in, I know we've got Ollie holding. Let's bring Paul in because maybe he can help me decipher Ollie's call. I don't know what she's calling yet, but I see Paul here on the stream and he's waiting patiently. So I want to get him on the show. This is the first time Paul's been on the show where he hasn't been in the studio. So there'll be a little bit of an adjustment there, but I think we'll do just fine. It is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome one of my very good new friends here. He is the founder of the platform Wonderfully Wisconsin, which will just make you proud to live in our state. And he does such a great job. Mr. Paul Vandenplaas. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Pete?
Doing very well. This is exciting. I have to ask you, do you have a favorite side dish? I assume you do, because you're kind of a lot about food because you live here in Wisconsin and you've reported on a lot of and celebrated a lot of it. So what's your favorite side?
It's got to be stuffing, but not one of those wimpy bread first stuffings. It's got to be a hearty meat stuffing.
You just made stuffing macho somehow. Well done, Paul. I didn't even know that was possible.
I didn't either.
Hey, Ken, I'm going to take a phone call from Ollie, and maybe you can comment on this with me. Ollie calls typically when we have food questions. So, Zomers, let's bring Ollie in from the North Woods.
Hi.
Hello, Ollie. Thank you for your patience tonight with our crazy phone numbers and holding. How are you?
I'm good. Well, part of my
part of my thing has really been probably mashed to death, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah. That's our number one tonight by far, I would say.
But my mom also used to make celery with cream cheese and green olives. That was delicious. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to have to agree with one of your texters. I would give my eye teeth for some of my mom's potato sausage, Swedish potato sausage. Ooh. It is absolutely delicious. And if anybody sees it in the store, which is not very, that's a rare occurrence, they should get some and try it.
That sounds fantastic. Ali, thank you for holding, and thank you for the suggestion, and have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
You guys too. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Ali from the North Woods. Paul, she listens the old school way on the actual radio. How do you like that?
I didn't even know that was still a thing you could do.
Something you should look into as an influencer, I think. Get in touch with the retro radio. How are you doing tonight, buddy? It's good to see you.
Yeah, no, doing great. Always fun to be on. I'm excited to be able to talk about kind of what I've been up to. So,
I mean, there's so many things. I go through your Facebook page and I'm like, I want to ask him about that. But I have my own stuff, but let's let you lead. Where have you been recently that in our state that's just kind of knocked your socks off or is a place worth checking out?
I've started a recent series where I want to talk about legends and lore of Wisconsin. So nice. I kicked that off with the Christmas season coming with the story of the Christmas tree ship, which sank in Lake Michigan, 1912. And they did not discover the wreck of the Christmas tree ship until 1971. So just going to Two Rivers, yet again, that city is just incredible with, all sorts of foodie finds in history. It really is, such a unique place, all these places right on the lakeshore.
You know, it's funny. We've talked about the Christmas ship. My pal Frank Anderson, runs a website called Wisconsinology, and he's told the story a couple times about that, but, I just forget stuff. So where did that happen? Where did the Christmas tree ship go down? Was it like just like 2 miles off the shore or something like that?
No, it was 12 miles northeast of the city of Two Rivers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
that's great.
Yeah, it sits in like 165 feet of water, I think. So it's pretty deep.
Are the Christmas trees still good or were they lost years ago?
They're still in there and they still have the needles on them, which is really crazy.
Because it's so cold. Yeah.
I remember learning about this since I'm from Manitowoc, which is right next to Two Rivers. So I remember learning about this in elementary school, and we made little boats to commemorate it, I guess.
That's so morbid. That's so morbid. Are you a fan typically of shipwrecks, Paul? Because I'm fascinated by them. The water kind of freaks me out. Like, I don't even like deep lake water. I know I'm not a boat guy or a, you know, water ski guy, but I am fascinated by shipwrecks. And I know Door County has a museum and there have been some great shipwrecks, not great, but tragic, but, incredible shipwrecks in Lake Michigan. How, are you a fan typically, or is this just something you kind of stumbled upon?
I really like history. I mean, the Christmas tree ship, was a story my father told me from the time I was little, you know, and it was just kind of almost like larger than life. Like you're like, no, there's no way that this is a real story. So I like all sorts of shipwrecks. I just did a video. I actually just reposted it. I did it last year in Sheboygan. There is a shipwreck that they recovered, I think about 30 years ago, and actually put it on the shore and you can walk through it. It's called the Lottie Cooper. And I think that ship sank in like the 1890s.
That's pretty cool. I'm actually looking at that right now on your Facebook page, the Lottie Cooper. And yeah, you posted it yesterday.
Yep.
How big is that? Like you can walk through it, but is it like, are there compartments or is it just kind of a big schooner or what?
It's just a big schooner and a lot of it has just been lost to time, unfortunately, and the waves and all of that. But there's still enough there. You can see how big the hull of the ship originally was and you can walk right through it. It's pretty neat.
That's great. You also were at a place. Well, before we move on to ship, I got to get to your 100 burger thing. We got to talk about that because that's incredibly impressive. But where were you? It says you were in Mount Morris Park. This is a beautiful place in our state.
Oh, it is. And that's a yet another history thing is when they first founded that park, they actually tried to make it a state park. So when you go there, there's a lot of amenities and it's quite large. I mean, there's 4 miles of hiking trails, which one of my followers commented that they've now actually made those bridle trails or horse trails for the non-horse people. So it really is just this incredible park that just never became the state park like they wanted. And so it's a little known county park and you go there and it's just incredible. And then you go up on top of the hill and you just get this breathtaking view that you're typically not getting in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right. My guest is Paul Vandenplaus. He is the creator of the social media platform Wonderfully Wisconsin, a must follow if you love our state. And of course you do, but you'll learn more about the state too, which is exciting, which leads me to my next question, Paul. You seem to know a lot. Have you always been like, did you know all these things before you created Wonderfully Wisconsin, or have you kind of learned as you went too?
It's kind of a mix of both. I mean, I definitely knew more than I guess your average Wisconsinite. I've always just been interested in history and geography and learning as much as I can about the things that surround me, just because I'm naturally curious. But then doing this is kind of been like this initiation into everything Wisconsin. And it's like I opened this whole can of worms that I guess I didn't even realize that I was opening when I started this.
What, all right, I have to ask you, the last time you were here or the time before that, I don't even know because what you're doing is a massive undertaking and it's taken time. So I don't know if when you were here last, you told us about this pursuit you have to rank the 100 burgers in Wisconsin, but where are you with that list right now?
So I am at 15 official reviews that I have posted, okay. But I am at 22 actual reviews. So I have seven places that I've been that people don't know that I've been that are in various states of edit.
Okay. Did you review officially Mickey Lou's yet in Marinette? Cause that's yes. Where I met you and your lovely wife, Sarah. Okay. So what did you think of Mickey Lou's? How did we do?
Mickey Lou's was fantastic. I don't have the score in front of me, but it was over a 9. I think I gave that 9.25. And it was very surprising because I heard from a lot of people that it's like, oh, Mickey Lou's is kind of whatever. Just a typical small town burger joint. And I did not find that to be the truth at all. It was excellent service. The burgers were just incredible. The milkshake I got, I was not ready for how good that was, to be honest. Yeah. But what a fantastic place. Great food. And just, I like going to places like that where it looks like, it feels like you're stepping back into the 1940s. They haven't changed anything since they opened that place.
You know, it's funny. It's definitely, and I'm harping on this because of the screening we're having next week for The Godfather of Green Bay, but we shot in Marinette and I used Mickey Lou's. There's a scene where Lauren Holly and I are sitting in a booth, they're tiny booths there, but it's one of those places when we were scouting locations and Marinette, the producer is like, we have to shoot something there. He wasn't even from Wisconsin. And he's like, this place is so great. So that made me wonder, like when you're in a place like this, Paul, do you let the ambiance affect your judging of the burger itself? Does the charm of a place affect the score in any way?
I think you can't help but let it a little bit. If you go into a place that's, you know, new and surgical. So to give you a little insider info, I recently did Milwaukee Burger Company here in Appleton. Really good place. And a lot of people say it's really one of the best burgers in Wisconsin. And I went there and it was just like, okay, it's fine. But you don't have that history. You don't have that magic to it, I guess.
That's got to be hard. I know exactly where that's like in a strip mall near the Fox River Mall, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And it's great food. There's nothing wrong with it.
That's what I hear. My son ate there when he was in high school and he's like, you got to check this place out. And I still have not. But that's interesting what you say, though. It's like a strip mall burger could taste even better. But if you got Old Charm, that's tough to compete with if they're close, right?
Right, right. It's not just about the burger. It really is about the experience of it all.
What did you think of the uniforms at Mickey Lou's? They even have those old, like, it's like Flo from Alice, this 70s sitcom. Like, did that play a part?
Yeah, it was really awesome.
Did your wife like the burgers at Mickey
Lou's? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she really did.
I know I sound like I'm giving a big plug to Marinette tonight. So that's, I do live there, though, so I can throw them a little bone with my pal, Paul Vandenplas, who is the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. When we come back, we're going to talk maybe supper clubs, Paul, or Sputnik. I know you were in Manitowoc recently. Hughes Chocolates. We're going to hit a number of places from around the state that Paul has been to and posts about. They're so fun to follow. He's here tonight with me on Nightlight. And we are coming back after this very short break. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, I say the fun has just begun. We're on Sputnik number one. We're flying through outer space and we're rocking for the
fame. I don't know. What do you think about this, Donald?
I think it's...
They called it Sputnik.
Yeah, he is saying Sputnik, which is not the way we usually say it. But, you know, maybe in 1957...
Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's like a game like lawn darts or something we don't know about. Dave on the stream says sour salad. Here's his recipe. It's all about the dressing. Vinegar, olive oil, salt, pepper, garlic powder, oregano, Italian seasoning, and Parmesan cheese. That does sound delicious, I will say, Dave. Thank you. Craig Kinnett on the stream also says, I will also cherish rice, potatoes, and gravy as a Thanksgiving staple. Rice, potatoes. Those are, I'm guessing those are like small potatoes. Paul, does that sound familiar?
No idea.
Okay. So that's a great transition, though, to get you talking about Sputnik. You were in Manitowoc recently. I judged a costume contest there. A year ago, it was a lot of fun. People that show up there have so much fun in their alien costumes. Tell us a little bit about your experience with Sputnik and a little bit of the history, if you remember it. Otherwise, I can jump in.
I know, I believe it was the Sputnik 4 satellite that crashed there in 1962 or 64. So they just built this really unique festival around it. I believe it is the funkiest festival in Wisconsin. But it's really a unique festival aliens, and to me it seems very like counterculture, like not something that you'd see in a small like lakeshore Wisconsin town, that it'd be like, okay, this is something that happens in Madison or Milwaukee, right?
Right. Well, it's so great, too, because for those of you that haven't been to Manitowoc, gorgeous city right on the lake, this part of this Russian satellite dropped and coincidentally penetrated the street through the cement right next to the Roar West Museum. So it kind of just lends itself to have this festival. Like, you got this great museum right there. Greg Vadney, the executive director, is on the show periodically. You've got this nice little tribute to the Russian satellite. I mean, it's so unique, and I think they've captured it, and it's just, it falls into kind of the category of weird fun Wisconsin, I think.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of like Wisconsin at its heart. Like, we're all a little bit odd, right? But we're fun too,
and we embrace it. Exactly. All right. So before we get into supper clubs I don't even know where to start. Let's go to, you posted a picture recently. This is the most funky, crazy Bloody Mary I have ever seen. It's like the Bloody Mary is incidental. You've got food on a stick hanging out. There's like eight of them. It's like a 7-course meal and then a chaser with the alcohol. Where was that? And how good did that? Was it as good as it looked, I guess?
Well, that was at Milwaukee Burger Company. It was just something. Wisconsin has a ton of places that do Bloody Marys like that. which is very surprising. Somebody could do a series of videos just on Bloody Marys that are essentially meals in and of themselves. I did not drink the Bloody Mary. My wife did, but she said it was quite good.
Well, it looks, correct me if I'm wrong. It looks like I'm looking at either garlic or potatoes, some kind of meat, huge pickle. And then looks like a donut or a sweet roll on there too, or something.
It was, I know I was the recipient of, there was chicken wings on that. So that's why I was a fan of it. The chicken wings were good.
looks dynamite. And then you've also got the classic Wisconsin. We talked about this last week, the Bloody Mary Chaser, which is basically almost a full beer that they give you on the side, which I love too.
Yeah. 6 ounce, 6 ounces of beer, to complement your alcoholic beverage.
And they should give you like a bottle of Tums, I think, too, with this Bloody Mary that I'm looking at right now. It looks so good. But who could finish? Like, it probably took the two of you to eat that, right?
Oh, yeah. It was my kids came along. So there was cheese curds in it and everything. So we all snacked on that. And by the time our meals came, it was like, okay, well, we pretty much boxed everything up.
That's great. That's probably what I'm looking at are the cheese curds. All right. So can you stick with us through the news? Can we keep you for one more segment, Paul?
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Paul Vandenplas is my guest from Wonderfully Wisconsin. You can follow Wonderfully Wisconsin on Facebook, Instagram too, right, Paul?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other platforms we should know about?
Just those, YouTube.
Okay. That'll keep you busy. all right. Before we go to a break, we've got about a minute or so left, Paul. Hughes Chocolates in Oshkosh. My wife's family is from Oshkosh, and she would bring Hughes chocolates all the time at home. They're made in a basement of this house. What was your experience like there? And what can you tell us about Hughes chocolates?
If you're a fan of speakeasies, I call Hughes like the speakeasy of chocolatiers.
That's great.
It's literally a house in the middle of a neighborhood. You don't know anything is there. The only sign is there's literally just a little neon sign in the front window. So it's like you walk up the driveway walk into the side of this house. It's wild. I've been there multiple times and I feel like I'm still committing a crime every time I'm walking into it. But you walk down the stairs. It's one of those older homes where you walk in the side and then you can go down in the basement or up into like a kitchen. So you walk straight downstairs and that's the chocolate shop. They have a tiny little counter. They got a sign up there. I mean, you can fit maybe two people into the actual chocolate shop itself. And it's just like, you better know what you want. We have about 5 things to choose from, but everything you get there is the best you're ever going to have.
It's a treasure. And when I saw that, I hadn't been there in ages and I was glad it still existed. So thank you for posting that. It reminds me of a place. There was a place in Marinette where a woman used to sell coffee out of her home. Everybody ranted about her coffee and loved it. But when you go in to ask for it, I was in her kitchen once and she goes, I don't have any more coffee. Then you just feel like an idiot standing in someone's kitchen like you're there for a handout or something. Not the case with Hughes Chocolates. This is a must visit. Paul Vandenplas is here from Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's going to stick with us through the news. Act 3 is coming up next. Tom Lennon from Reno 911 at 7:35, folks. Don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.